Hey guys, right now we're currently in the book of John, and I got a passage of scripture today that it is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, so we'll work through it. But everybody take your Bibles, go to the book of John, John chapter 12. And if you remember, I know we had our vision conference, and so we were pretty busy. But right before the vision conference, do you guys remember telling the story about the alabaster box? Where a lady walks in with very costly perfume, and she breaks it, and she anoints the body of Jesus. Well, what she was really doing, Jesus is getting ready to get crucified. So she's anointing him for his burial. But it was a beautiful picture for you and me to take our very best, to take what's valuable. Because, you know, real devotion to Jesus costs you something. Don't let anybody fool you. Everybody wants to come to Jesus like to make their life easier. It don't always work that way. It costs. It's a tough life, but he's worth it. There at the table, there were people that complained about the money that was wasted. And there was other people who was risen from the dead or once was a leper and now they're healed. Man, they were rejoicing, man, because they knew that Jesus Christ was worth it. So in John chapter 12, right after that story, starting in like verse 10, it says, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So guys, many people now are believing on Jesus, not because of Jesus' words, but because of Lazarus. His life was transformed. He was dead and now he's alive. So I guess a good point here would be, don't rule out your changed life. People take notice when somebody was once, you know, messed up, and now they're in their right mind. They struggled with anxiety, now they got peace. They had addictions in their life, and now they don't. You know, basically, I was dead, and Jesus Christ resurrected. And so people were coming to Jesus because of Lazarus' testimony. And that should be the same for you and me. It should be a byproduct. People should naturally know because of your changed life. Well, the story I want to jump into next is verse 12. It says this. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that were with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world has gone after him. Guys, this story, we normally cover this at Easter, right? Like a Palm Sunday, right? Before Jesus goes in to start the crucifixion process, they put the palm trees down and he goes into the city riding on that ass's colt, right? This story is in every one of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John cover this story. I said it already during music, so I don't need to take you to Zechariah chapter 9, where Zechariah prophesied 600 years before this event took place. Zechariah the prophet said, this is what's going to take place. And it surely did. So that's kind of beautiful, isn't it? So basically, what I would like to do is I want to leave John chapter 12, and I want to go over to Mark chapter 11. And the only reason why is Mark just gives some more details that I think. So I'm going to cover this story. So it's like we're in the book of John covering the story, but I want to do it looking through the lens that Mark puts out there for us. I don't know if you noticed, but we'll be in Mark 11, starting in verse 1. Do you guys remember, we just read in the book of John, that it says, in John 12, verse 14, it says, that Jesus found an ass. Do you remember that? We just read it. Jesus found an ass. And I love this passage, too, because it's one of these passages where I can cuss and not feel one bit guilty about it, you know. And that's just what the Bible uses, right? So, you know, we're looking at a donkey here, right? This is an ass and an ass's colt. I think we're going to use the word ass because the Bible uses that word. Ain't that good enough? And did you know what ass means in the Greek? Ass. That's why it's written this way. That's exactly why God put it in here. It's exactly what it is. And I love how it says that Jesus found an ass, because every other gospel says it this way. Look at Mark chapter 11 and verse 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus, it says, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and he saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, wherein never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. All the other gospels say that Jesus sent two disciples to find the ass. But the book of John just says that Jesus found an ass. I want you to know something. We're learning something right from the start here. First of all, notice Jesus sent two disciples. That's how Jesus does business. All through the Gospels and in the book of Acts, they never send anybody out by themselves. It's always two. I think that's important. It's an important principle to know. Even Solomon in Ecclesiastes says two are better than one. And the reason why that is, if one falls, the other can pick him up, right? If you need heat in the middle of the night, there'll be one to keep you warm. You know, there's principles on this. So they do it. They do it biblically. They send it two by two. But I guess I just want you to know that, you know, the way Jesus finds asses, he sends us to find them. You know, in the New Testament, we're called the body of Christ. So like, for instance, I could say, man, Jesus found me. I could tell people that. I met Jesus Christ and my life changed. But you know how I did that? I went to a church camp. They opened the Bible, and particularly a man named Mike Dimoff really influenced me for the Lord and brought me to Jesus. So I don't tell the people that, my gosh, man, Mike Dimoff found me. Well, no, he did, but he brought me to Jesus, and I found the Lord, because Jesus is the life changer here, right? So I just want you to know, we've been talking at our conference on sowing seed. That was our theme of our conference. We take the Word of God and sow. Why do we sow seed? Guys, because people need Jesus. And to just put it practically for the story, there's all kinds of asses out there that need Jesus. The Lord has need of him, the Bible says. So, but it's our job to do that. Go out and find them. And guys, we all know people. We all know people that need the Lord. And it's our job. And some people would just think, you know what, I'm just going to pray for them that they would find Jesus. The way Jesus finds them is through you. Go lead them. Go help untie them and bring them to Jesus. So let's apply what we learned at the conference, right? Notice it says in verse 2, he says, go your way into village over against you, and as soon as ye enter into it, ye shall find a colt tied. This is really, really important here, because this ass's colt is tied up. He's tied. He needs loosed. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that everybody is born in sin, and our sin binds us and wraps us up. Now, some of you that have an addiction, like a parent big public addiction, you know, we can see it. It's easy to see when a guy is struggling to get off of, you know, whatever. You can just see, because it wraps, that's all they think about. It wraps them up. And sometimes don't even think of, like, you know, don't immediately think of meth or crack. Think of, like, food. I mean, there are big people out there, and you can just say, well, I can tell what she's wrapped up with. Yeah, she's got an addiction. She ain't drinking alcohol. She's eating Twinkies and Doritos all the time. She's eating, it's a comfort food. When she gets nervous, she eats. She's anxious, she eats. She goes home at night and she's lonely, she eats. See, it's an addiction. It's just more publicly, like, acceptable to have that kind of addiction than to have one like bath salts or something like that. You know, you can see it, and it's really tore up in people's lives. I just want you to know, though, this cult needs freed. And guys, people all around us are tied up. And some of you in this room, your sin has got you bound up. You can't see straight, can you? Everything you do, you find yourself tripping over yourself. Why? Well, it's kind of like having your legs tied together. Or you ever go to a place, they're like, hey, let's have some fun and do a three-legged race. So they'll just tie two people together, and then, you know, to watch them try to, like, work this together, you know. And, well, they're all tied up. I could beat them in a race every time. Even if they're Olympian athletes, I think if you tie their leg together, as long as they don't get practice, I think I could beat them in a foot race, you know. They're tied up. They need loosened. I love that. We looked at this in John chapter 8. It says, Jesus Christ, the Son, will make you free. Jesus Christ is in the business of freeing people up. Because people are tied up. It's true, isn't it? And I think we can testify in our own lives, but the Bible says it's true. I like this story back in Mark 5. We're not going to turn there, but Jesus Christ, they keep running into a guy that's demon-possessed. And the Bible says this guy was so wild and possessed with the devils, they just kept tying him up. They put chains on him. They said, but what was freak about it is he kept getting loose. He kept getting loose and terrorizing people. See, he didn't need free from his chains. He needed free from his sin. He needed free from the devil that had him all wrapped up, man. That's how people are tied up. Because don't think for a second, man, I would just be doing a lot better if I could quit, you know, I smoke too much weed. That's the problem, you know. That's not the problem, you know. Man, if I could just quit eating all this food. Okay, I get it. But the Bible says it's never what you put inside you that defiles you. It's what's inside. The real issue is the why. Why are you attracted to the crack pipe? Why does meth just draw you in? Why? There's a why behind it. And I'll tell you why. You're empty. Without Jesus, your spirit's dead. And we will try anything to fill it. And some people, it's relationships. I know people do it with money, like success. They have a business. They want to be successful and take fancy vacations and drive nice cars. Hey, have at it. That'll all change if you live your whole life that way. Something will wreck that, whether the divorce comes or something goes bad in business, or it just might take you being an old man and they take your license away because you can't drive anymore. And it's over. You'll be like, my gosh, this is terrible, isn't it? Yeah, it just don't fulfill. That's all. It's not the thing that was meant to fulfill, right? So it says here that in verse 2 that this colt was tied. He was tied up, and just like every sinner is tied up. But I love the next phrase that says, wherein never man sat. You know what this means? He's wild. This ass has never been broken. He's wild. Nobody ever sat on him. That's how you break him, actually. And if you watch people, I've never seen people break asses, but I've watched people break horses, mainly in videos. And you watch the process of it happen, and it's pretty cool to watch and see. And then finally, they can get on it, you know. And it's kind of really cool, kind of special. But I want to show you a verse. If you can go back to the book of Job. Now, the middle of your Bible is the book of Psalms. Right before Psalms is the book of Job. And if you ain't quick at the Bible, no panics. Hopefully, we can get it on the backboard there. Job chapter 11. God kind of clues us in on something. Job 11 and verse 12. It says this. Job 11:12. For vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. Man is born like a wild ass's colt. See, we're not just reading a story about Jesus and an ass going to get crucified. We're reading a story about Jesus finding you and finding me, giving us a real purpose in our life. See, we're the ass's colt. So all those years your mom called you an ass, it's true, you know? And don't get me wrong, and I'm not cussing today because Brian Clark cussed at the conference. You know, but the bottom line is this. I lost my train of thought. Like, to call somebody an ass, what normally you're really saying is, when you call your kid just because he did something stupid, you're not calling him an ass. You usually call him an ass when you're like, you are stubborn. You're like a jackass. Man, you're thick-headed. That's usually what's meant by that. And so, man is born like a wild ass's colt. Let's put the emphasis on the word wild, man. You're wild, man. Like in this story, no man ever sat on him before. And guys, listen, we're all born wild. people take their wildness in different directions, you know. Not everybody goes out there and just like, you know, like a party animal or nothing like that. But this ass pictures you and me. We're born in our sin. Man's born like this wild ass's colt. No man ever sat on it, and we're all tied up. It's interesting, back in the book of Exodus, if you're quick in your Bible, go back to Exodus. If you're not, just enjoy. Exodus chapter 13. Like flipping pages of your Bible is not enjoyable. I shouldn't have said it that way, probably. Exodus chapter 13. After the Passover, it says this in verse 12. The Lord says, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix. This is Exodus chapter 13, verse 12. And every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. So God said, here's the deal. The firstling of all the flocks, you're going to dedicate to the Lord. It's a principle God still holds true to. God wants your first. Oh, guess what day of the week it is? Day number one. We're in church. We're giving him first. That's one way we do it. Your time. What do you do every morning first thing you wake up? What should you do? Your paycheck with your money. What should be the first thing you do with your money? It's mine. God wants first. We're not talking an amount. We're just talking about a heart attitude, right? So he tells him this. When the matrix, openeth the matrix, the firstling's mine. But watch verse 13. He shares something super interesting. And every firstling of an ass, thou shalt redeem with the lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. God says, I want the first of everything. Of all the flock, anything that opens the matrix that's born, I want first. God gets first. Oh, and by the way, I am not accepting an ass. Well, see, man is born like a wild ass's colt. And you notice what it says in verse 13? The only way he'll accept an ass is to kill a substitutional lamb. You and me being born like a wild ass's colt, if you think Jesus is going to accept your ass, he won't, unless you know the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. You see it? This story's beautiful. This is why man is born like a wild ass's colt. And guess what? Guys, we need redeemed by a lamb. And if not, you know what happens to you? Your neck will be broke. That's right. You'll die, the Bible says. There's a verse in Deuteronomy 21 that says that, that just says, yeah, like you'll be hung from a tree. That's how your neck gets broke. He was like, anybody wants to go against the law of God, he says the payment's going to be. And it's just true. So we're learning now in the book of Mark, if you want to go back to Mark chapter 11, it says that there's this colt tied where never man sat, you're wild. And guys, I'm going to tell you something. There's something about people, you know, a lot of people are rebellious. I kind of lean that way a little bit. I'm not lying. I was always stubborn, and I always liked that DC Talk song years ago when they sang that song, Some People Gotta Learn the Hard Way, because I'm the type of guy that needs to find out for myself. And I sing that song to Josie all the way from the beginning of cancer on, because that girl's always been a little bit more stubborn, and I would just, she'd do something, I was like, well, go ahead, and then I'd walk away and say, Some people gotta, she's like, shut up, Dad. Well, because you know it's true. That's why you don't like that song, right? And so, never man sat, loose him and bring him. Stubborn. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm a grown man. You know, I've told my wife many times, I'm like, man, you're not my mom, when we were married. And she, but you know, I realize now that I'm 54 years old that, man, I needed a mom a lot in my life to tell me what to do. You're not my mom. Nobody tells me what to do. Well, there is one. It says here in verse 2 that never man sat, and it said, loose him and bring him. Guys, and I like this. This is our job as a church. You know what we need to do? We need to go around loosening people from their chains. Now, we can't do that. It's Jesus that does it. That's why it says here, loose him, but bring him to Jesus. You need to come to Jesus. That's our job, is to plant these seeds. I think it's crazy in this story. We already read it in the book of John, but look at verse 3. If any man say unto you, hey, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. Do you notice Jesus already prepares him and says, hey, when you find this ass tied up and you're loosening, and people are going to say, hey, what are you doing that for? Because, you know, it's not yours. Like, it's none of your business. What in the world are you doing this for? I guess I want to bring up a point here for all of us. Hey, guys, if we spend our lice, I hope you don't have lice. I pray for you lice if you have bed bugs, because they're worse, you know. Okay, back to the passage. If you find yourself wanting to loosen asses, if you want to see people free, I think there's a point here. You will be opposed. You will be questioned. What are you doing? People ain't going to like it. And usually it's family members, guys. I remember I gave my life to Christ, and my brother's 3 years older than me. And so I remember the first day of school after I got saved, I'm in the driveway and I'm walking down and he sees me and I have a Bible in my hand and he's immediately going, "What are you doing?" So I'm going to school. It's like, "With a Bible?" Yeah, I wanted the world to know. Man, Jesus changed me and saved me. I was going to spend my life looking for asses that were tied up and freeing them. And my brother just opposed me in the driveway. And I felt the friction, which was good for me because I knew I was going to feel it when I went into school, you know. So just to know that this is exactly, we will be opposed. But what I love about this is, I don't know if you guys remember the story. We read it here not too long ago. Jesus is sitting down. He's eating with publicans and sinners. And people are coming by and religious leaders are like, "What's Jesus eating with them for?" See, because he's trying to free them. I don't know about you, but I don't go to the doctor unless I'm sick. Sick people need the doctor. Jesus sitting with sick people. And religious people are going, "What are we doing?" I like when that reputation hits town about, "Yeah, that girl goes to the Maple City Baptist Church." And you can tell that girl don't have a very good reputation. What kind of church? Yeah, I'll tell you, it's a church that likes to free people that are tied up. It's a church that likes to bring people to Jesus. That's what church, we're supposed to be known to be, that kind of church. It's not about being fancy. That's always what happens to churches. Churches have no money. They start meeting in some dude's living room, maybe in a garage somewhere. Then they get a little building, and then they're going to build something. Then people start coming. Then everybody starts wearing fancy clothes. They start passing fancy plates, and before you know it, you got a religious organization that does not untie asses. So let's never get too fancy, church. Let's never get too fancy. Let's repel fancy people, actually. And I say that. Fancy people need Jesus, too. I do realize that. But it'll be fancy people that will oppose us. And it's okay. You just got to be okay with that. I'm okay with that. So anyways, it says that they were questioning. I love how it says when they say, "Why do ye this? What in the world are you doing?" And what's it say in verse 3? "Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. Talking about the ass. When somebody says, "Hey, what are you doing?" Just simply say, "The Lord has need of him." So there's another point to this story that is neat. Because coming to Jesus, you get untied. He'll free you from your bondage, from your sin. You're all tied up. The wild ass is colt. The only way to keep him contained is to tie him up, man. So he's all tied up. But when you get loose, I like Jesus. It says, when they say, "What are you doing?" Jesus didn't say, respond to them and just say, "Well, he needed loosed. He needed untied. That's why I loosed him." And the guy's like, "Dude, one, it's not your ass. What are you doing walking onto a property that's not yours and is untying an ass? That's not your..." That wasn't the answer. He says, "You tell him that the Lord needs him. The Lord's going to use him." Do you see that? So being a wild ass's colt, coming to the Lord like a sinner, all bound up, the whole point of you getting saved is not so you can be like, "Man, I no longer struggle. I don't say the F word anymore." That wasn't the point of getting saved. The Lord needs you. The Lord wants to use you. And we're going to find out when they bring this ass to Jesus. That's what it says next. They brought this ass to Jesus. It says in verse 4. There's a few more details I guess I should throw in. Look at verse 4. "And they went their way and they found the colt tied." Watch this. "By the door." Do you like that? By the door. We just read in John chapter 10, we did it like 2 months ago. Jesus says, I am the door. So isn't it crazy? This ass was tied by the door. Like the door was there. It just makes me think that so many people, the door's there, so many people won't go through the door. Jesus is the door. He's tied up by the door. You got an opportunity there. In Deuteronomy 30:19, you know what it says? I present to you today a blessing and a cursing. Like it's right there. There's a blessing and a cursing, and you need to choose. Do you remember in the book of Acts 26, when it was a King Agrippa, Paul was given his testimony, and King Agrippa said, thou almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. That's what he said. Almost. It's like he said, I seen the door, but I didn't go through it. I was close. His ass is tied up at the doors there. And I want you to know today, Jesus Christ is the door. He's the Savior in this story. He's the Savior in our life too, right? But notice what it says next. It says, the colt was tied by the door without in a place where what? Two ways meet. Churches like the name, you'll see it when you're traveling, look on the highway, it's a Crossroads Bible Church, you know, Crossroads Baptist Church, Crossroads. Yeah, you know why I like Deuteronomy? There's a blessing and a cursing. Which route are you going to go? Which route are you going to take? I like that because it just reminds me, it's the cross of Jesus Christ, where two ways meet, right? It says in verse 4, and they loose him. Free. You know what's crazy about this story? It's a wild ass. Somebody tied him up. It's funny in this story, you don't see him getting untied and you're like, and guys, I hope you got some rodeo skills because this thing is going to go screaming and kicking. Like, this thing's going buck wild, man. This thing's, you've seen him kick, right? In the shows, in the movies. I haven't seen many in person, but yeah, asses usually don't behave real civilized, you know? And so it don't say that. It says they loose him in verse 5. And certain of them that stood there said unto him, hey, what do you loosening the colt? Just like Jesus said, they're questioning verse 6. They said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. Jesus needs him. That's what it says. The Lord hath need of him. So this reminds me of like good parents. Sometimes good parents, you get a hold of a wild kid. You're like, man, this kid gives me nothing but trouble. And sometimes I think a child needs somebody to really believe in them and just say, son, you're going to do something great for the Lord one day. I believe God's going to use you, sweetie. You know, somebody gets in busted up trouble and like they're all upset about it and you get the opportunity to loosen in time and just say, hey, the good news is Jesus uses asses. And people all the time say this, yeah, you don't want me coming to church. If I come into church, man, the roof's going to cave in. Everybody says that. Little did you know. That's the type Jesus wants. He's calling in the ass. Right? And people just say, man, yeah, that guy, he is a, and people call him that all around town, right? That guy's a jerk, man. Or some people say, he's an ass. And I'm just like, ain't we all? Yes. But Jesus wants to use him. So let's keep reading. Look at verse 6. 7. And they brought the colt to Jesus. That's it. Guys, asses, colts, what do? We bring them to Jesus. We can't change them. I feel sorry for the ladies that meet some wild guy and they really think in their heart they're going to change this rascal. Like, I'm going to tame this guy. What is it in you that wants to tame something like that? It ain't going to happen. You met him, he was buck wild, he's still going to be buck wild. And I like people, you know, doing marriage counseling, they'll be like, you knew me when you met me. You knew this is what I did for a living. You know, like, what the God's name? You knew this, you know? But she really thought in her heart she would change it. And it don't really happen that way. So you know what you do then? Bring him to Jesus. Jesus can change him. Jesus can change her. They brought the colt to Jesus, and look what they did next. They cast their garments on him. He got reclothed. You know, normally asses, they're not just buck wild, but usually with buck, we throw the word buck naked, you know. He gets some clothing put on him. Man, What kind of person does that? You ever see people like dress their chickens up with pants and little shirts? We got crazy people in the church that's done that and posted it everywhere. I'm just like, what's wrong with these people? I'm like, well, I guess nothing's wrong with them. It's just the start, because what Jesus does is he takes a wild ass and puts clothes on him. Well, how tame can you be? Cast their garments on him, and then he sat upon him. So I just want you to know, they cast garments, basically he got reclothed. If you're quick in your Bible, go to Isaiah 61:10. You'll love this verse. And I'm bringing this plane down, and we're landing. It's almost over. Acts 61 and verse 10. It says in Isaiah, did I say Acts? I meant Isaiah. Acts-aiah. That book. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my Lord. Joyful in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my Lord, my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. I like that. He changed my garments. Notice this, guys. Most people get this backwards. Don't change or put on garments to come to Jesus. You come to Jesus first. He brings the garment change. Don't ever think that. A lot of people think, man, we had a lady forever. It was just like, yeah, come, man. I got to quit smoking. She had a big hang-up with smoking. Like, what's the big deal with smoking cigarettes, man? Come to Jesus. You need Christ. And usually people that do have habits in their life, it's you come to Jesus, and it's funny, you shouldn't change your garments. You do. There's habits and things you do in your life, and It's not that nobody's telling you. Well, the first thing now that you're a Christian is you got to quit going here. You got to stop doing this, quit reading this, quit talking that way here. It don't work that way. You enter a relationship with Jesus and his word starts infiltrating your mind. And there are things literally in your life that you're like, I think I need to give that up. That ain't right. I don't feel the same doing it. And it's true. Change does come. But you come to Jesus first. Don't you love that? He gives you garments of salvation. You know what's wild too is they not only, it says they spread, it says in verse 7, they cast their garments on him and he sat upon him. And then it says in verse 8, they spread their garments in the way. They also took their clothes, not only palm branches, but their clothes and put them down on the ground. For Jesus? Yeah, but it says here that Jesus sat on top of the ass. They were doing it for Jesus. You know why? There's a verse in the Old Testament, if you want to write this one down, 2 Kings 9:13. It's where kings, it says, garments, when the king enters, you put garments. It's kind of like you would think of, roll out the red carpet. This guy's important, you know. This girl's important. Roll. It's that kind of principle of respect and honor for a king. So Jesus is coming into the city and people are literally taking their clothes and putting them down for the king, right? What's crazy about this, guys, is they cast their garment. This wild ass gets untied, gets brought to Jesus, gets new garments put on top of him, and all of a sudden, Jesus sits on top of him. No man ever sat on him before. Which you know how it is, watching horses getting broke. The first time somebody sits on them, usually they get bucked off, you know, because they're buck wild, right? And so here Jesus, which tells me this, it's not the, and then people would say, man, everybody was going, man, that donkey has a lot of control, don't he? That donkey's in control of himself. Actually, no. Jesus was. Being a Christian, we submit our will to him, right? We allow him to be in control. The word submission. That's why people don't like that verse, especially if you go to the passage where it says wives. Submit yourself to your husband. That they're like, man, that just sounds like we're really putting a lady down, don't it? Then it follows up by saying this. Hey, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto the Lord. Submitting to a husband? That's no problem when you submit to Jesus. We all should be submitting to the Lord. That's what this ass did. He submitted to the king. To the Lord and let him sit on top of him. It didn't say nothing about bucking or nothing. He just got some new garments, some new clothes, and then he went into the city. I like this. And if you can see that Jesus had said, hey, bring this ass because I have need of him. I want you to know that our job is to take Jesus into the city. It's our job, right? When Jesus says, I found an ass. He actually sent disciples to go find an ass. So guess how Jesus went into Jerusalem? He didn't walk. Asses, ass and an ass is cold, an ass took him into the city. This is how Jesus wants to use you. You bring Jesus to work. He's inside of you. Take him everywhere you go. And he just chose to do that through an ass. Not perfect people. People that just submitted to him. Just came to him. And you never see anybody. Everybody is saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. You know, in the highest, glory to God. Like, they're worshiping and putting praise and honor on Jesus. Nobody is doing that to the ass. Because you can't see him. He's covered up with garments of righteousness and salvation. So a lot of people get saved and they want to tell everybody, yeah, look how great I am. Wasn't that awesome? Wanting everybody's approval. You know, my point this morning in preaching, if you leave here today and just go, man, that was a great message. I never heard the word ass mentioned more times in church than that Sunday. You know, or, oh, man, that music is really good. You know, people will say that type of stuff. But some of that stuff that's said to me is a fail. Because what you want people really leaving saying is, my gosh, God's word's amazing, isn't it? This ass should be covered with garments of righteousness and pointing people to the word. My job's to lift up Christ. You know, Bob Berry told me once, I don't know if you know Bob, the famous theologian, Bob Berry said, he said, Pastor, just remember, pastors are never supposed to wear capes. Like, you're not supposed to be a superhero. That's Jesus. It's a good word. It's a good word. Maybe that cape is not just so I can fly and have it flown behind me. Maybe it's my garment of salvation to put over me so people don't see who it is. It's Christ. Jesus says, I chose you in John 15. 1 Corinthians, Paul says, God chooses the foolish things. So I want you to know something. Some of you can't even imagine going to church. Some of you can't even imagine your life changing. I can't imagine being a Christian or a religious lady or a person like that. I got news for you. You come to Jesus, he's going to transform your life. He's going to use your personality. No matter what you've done, no matter what kind of ass you were, we're all in that same category. We're born wild asses colts. And guys, I'm going to give you two principles before I close this one out. Because I really hope some of you would say, I need untied. My sin's got me bound. Yeah, somebody needs to loose me. And then we're going to do that today and bring you to Jesus Christ. Then you're going to get garments of righteousness and you're going to have a job. And your job everywhere you go now is to take Jesus. We're going to take him into the city. You're going to take him to work. We take him to our families. That's what we do. You always notice a jackass out in the middle of a field because usually you see three or four horses and you're like, that ain't no horse. That's an ass. Well, how can you tell? Because the horses look very similar, right? It's not because they're behinds. Their behinds look similar. Man, he's got big ears. That's a donkey. Big ears. After being a Christian, the Bible says that we're supposed to be swift to hear and slow to speak. So I think a good characteristic of being an ass is we now listen for God's cues, man. We now listen to God's word. I now listen to the Spirit of God. I'm not stubborn and do my own thing. So you have ears. You're listening. You're taking notes. You're growing in your faith. Swift to hear. Then the other thing about a donkey is that I really, really like this one, is if you ever go to the Grand Canyon or a place where they take you on a trails, especially a steep, craziness, you know, like the Grand Canyon, cliffs. They're just like, well, would you like to rent the horse or do you want to rent the ass? What do you go with? If you're on a racetrack, I'd probably jump on that horse. But if you're going to be in dangerous territory and cliffs, it's been proven time and time again, asses are more sure-footed than horses. And the benefit of an ass, some of you would just say, man, that girl ain't coming to Jesus. She's too stubborn. You got to be pretty stubborn to be a Christian in this world. God's going to use your stubbornness. Man, that guy don't budge for nobody, does he?
Oh, but he's going to submit himself to Jesus and ain't nobody going to budge him. You see it? God uses that stuff. So swift to hear, big ears, like a donkey, like a jackass. I think it's jackass, and then it's, and the females are Jennies, ain't it? Is that true? Jenny Cox, is it true? I don't know. I'm just asking. Don't they call them Jennies? Yeah, okay, I thought so. I've never had one before. I've just looked at them from a distance, kind of fear them. Seen people play basketball on them before. That's weird. You ever see that? They usually get on them backwards a lot of times. I don't know what the deal is with that. So, hey, the message today is this. The message is Jesus has need of the ass. So as a church, it's our job to go see people loosed and give them God's word. Bring them to Jesus. Let them put garments of righteousness. And guys, some of us, you're stubborn. You're too stubborn. You know what you need to do? You need to do like this story and submit yourself to the Lord. You know what he wants to do? He wants to use you, but you're going to have to submit yourself. You know how some people get big dogs? They make a big mistake. They let their dogs get 140 pounds, and all of a sudden they can't cut their dog's, you know, claws. You know why? Well, dogs don't like to be on their backs generally, unless they're a real weak dog. A weak dog, that's a good sign of submission when they get down to let you rub their belly. Some dogs like it, you know, it feels good. But a lot of big dogs, man, what you do is when they're puppies, they'll fight it a little bit, you roll them on their back. And you rub their belly, you grab their paws, and you do that when they're this big. And you do it over and over and over again. And all of a sudden, and then even, you know, some dogs, you know, even... You didn't hurt him. You didn't go down to the quick. It's not bleeding, nothing else. Just the sound of it. And you'll see these big dogs like freak out. You know, we got to muzzle that dog. Why? We're getting ready to cut his toenails. Are you kidding me? There's 10 ladies down at the place there. They're cutting their nails and painting them. They're paying for it. And what? How does this work? It's an issue of submission. And they're scared. I think some of us are in that position today. You know what you need to do? Roll over. Don't roll over to me. You're a grown man. I'm not saying I can whip your tail. You might be able to whip my tail. That ain't the point. No, submit to the Lord, to what his word says. And roll them over, rub them bellies, touch them little paws, kiss them paws, you know, do all that stuff. And all of a sudden, you're going to have a dog that's submissive. This is what Jesus wants out of us. So I just want you to know, today you might walk in and you might feel like, my gosh, I don't feel like I belong. Oh, you totally belong. The Lord's calling you, man. You know, that's why he hand-tailored this message for us today, right? When we were going to have 5 baptisms. So I don't know what you got out of this message today, but respond to it. Respond to it. Let's all bow our heads right now. Just get quiet before the Lord. What's one thing I'm going to take away today? What was one thing that God really spoke to you about? And do business with the Lord. This is another good reason today that I know God did not... I said that wrong. God wrote the Bible. I know that man did not write the Bible. You know why? Because men are not going to call themselves asses. There's too many negative things about human beings in here for to say that men wrote this book. God put this book together. And if we could be honest this morning, we're all born in sin. The Bible says, Romans 3:23, it's going to lead us to death, right? We need a Savior. We need a saving. We need untied. I'm not saying you're going to struggle. You're going to, you know, we'll still have struggles the rest of our life as long as we have skin on, right? Our flesh. But the bottom line is all of us need to come to Christ. And I hope today to see somebody loosed in this room. Is there anybody here that would just say, you know what? I need Christ. I know I'm born in sin. I need Jesus. Today's your day. We'll let somebody take a Bible and show you what the Bible says, how to become a Christian. The Bible says it. It's not what our church believes. What's the Bible say? That's what's important here. So there's anybody in this room that would just say, hey, I want to meet Christ. I don't think I'm saved. Just get my attention somehow. Raise your hand. We're all kind of praying. Bow your heads, pray. Think about what God gave you. If your heart's beating, you're like, I think maybe I need a Savior. If that's you, just say, me, I want Christ. Anybody? Just get my attention. If you're a lady, I'll show you a lady, man, knows Bible. She'll sit down at the Bible and say, this is it. This is what the Bible says. I'm telling you, man, the Lord has need of you. He wants to really use your life. I know you don't feel valuable and usable, but you will be when you come to Jesus. You will be. Anybody get my attention? Wave me down. All right, Christian, what is it for you? Maybe from the conference, you're like, I got to sow seed. It's my job. I know people in my family. What about going to people that you know that are seriously tied up and call them on and just say, hey, everybody knows you got this issue. Do not. I'm telling you, there's a fix for you. But it's Jesus. It's not what you'd think. And a lot of people are like, man, what I really need is rehab. Well, I know a lot of people have been to rehab 3 and 4 times. You always hope it works, right? But the real fix is something deeper inside. It's getting your spirit made alive by Jesus. Amen? So Christians, let's submit ourselves to Him, man. Let's be the stubborn, sure-footed, swift-to-hear ass that takes Jesus all over this planet. That's our job. Jesus, thank you for your word today. Lord, I'm thankful for this Sunday. Lord, I'm thankful that we get to see publicly some lives say that they're going to walk in a new life. And I pray today it's motivating to our church. Thank you, God, for this momentum. Lord, we want to give you all credit and all glory for doing it, too. It's in your name we pray. Amen.